Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings you pour out on us. I pray, Lord, that we may feel your presence this morning. I pray that you'll come and dwell in each of our hearts, that you'll open our minds and you'll teach us. Inspire us as we look to learn more about you through your word. I pray, Lord, that my words this morning may be honouring to you. Amen. Well, good morning to you all. Again, we are in our series from Mark entitled Jesus, a Ransomed Life. The word about Jesus continues to spread. Momentum is building. Last week in our passage, we read how people now recognize Jesus. And because of this recognition, people traveled from far and wide to see him. The whole nation descended upon Gennesaret to meet him. People carried sick people on mats for Jesus to heal them. The people laid the sick wherever Jesus went. While many still didn't understand who Jesus was, they were amazed by him and the benefits of his healing ministry. Jesus had certainly caught the eye, as the expression would go. His miraculous work and teaching hadn't gone unnoticed. It hadn't gone unnoticed down in Jerusalem either. In our passage this morning, we read of the arrival of the Pharisees. So concerned, the Pharisees and some teachers came to find him. They came to see Jesus for themselves, to observe what he was doing. Immediately, they witnessed something of a concern to them. Mark 7 verses 1 through to 13 is our passage this morning, and in my Bible it's entitled Clean and Unclean. If you're using an NIV Bible, then you can find the passage on page 1010. Now, my sermon, the title for this morning is Followers of Tradition. Are you a follower of tradition? There are all sorts of traditions in our lives which we live by. There are many observed within our Homegate family. Here are a few examples. Someone always wears his Harrods apron when washing up. Another always walks out every morning to get the newspaper. Someone else always sends birthday greetings in Welsh. Another always washes their hands when arriving in church. Some families sit together each week in the same place. I always hoover the carpets before each Zoom service. I know, don't ask, you've never even seen my carpets on screen. We all have traditions. By and large, traditions are a good thing. But it's a big but. We do need to be careful. Traditions in church can be a good thing, but they can cause concern. We shouldn't have traditions just for the sake of traditions. Over the past 14 weeks, we've had to break tradition. We've had to do things differently and operate in new ways. Ways we aren't all perhaps comfortable with, or even ways we've liked. Over the coming days, the church council have decisions to make, decisions which will be made that may not please everyone. We may have to be open to forming some new traditions. What we've always done may not be appropriate. That's not how we do it. May not even be a consideration. You may observe something differently. You may not agree with something decided. You may witness something of a concern. Well, when the Pharisees arrived, they witnessed something of a concern. They witnessed a tradition being broken by Jesus' disciples. A tradition that sees everyone wash their hands before eating food. Their hands must be given a ceremonial washing. A ceremonial washing holding to the tradition of the elders. Jesus used this opportunity to give some instruction about traditions. The first thing we can learn this morning is not to judge. We should not judge people by our own traditions. Look at the first four verses of our passage this morning. They read, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean," that is, unwashed. "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." The Pharisees and some of the teachers came from Jerusalem. They arrive from Jerusalem to evaluate the ministry of Jesus. Now, we've already seen this before in Mark 3, verse 22. They declare a harsh criticism against Jesus. They had made up their mind about him, and they looked for something to confirm their opinion. Something such as what they witnessed in Mark 7, verse 2. They saw some of the disciples eating food with unclean hands. It's important to understand here what Mark is talking about. The washing of hands here is different. It is different from the way you and I wash our hands before we eat. When we wash our hands, we do it for hygienic reasons. We don't want to touch our food with dirty hands carrying any germs. In fact, we can't really touch anything at the moment without hand sanitizer. But for the Jews in Jesus' time, the reasons for washing were different. It was not so much a matter of personal hygiene as of ceremony. The hand washing described here was purely ceremonial. For these ceremonial washings, special stone vessels of water were kept. They were kept because ordinary water might be considered unclean. So to ceremonially wash your hands, you firstly took enough special water to fill one and one half eggshells. You then poured the water over your hands, starting at the fingers and running down towards your wrist. You then cleansed each palm by rubbing the fist of the other hand into it. And then you poured the water over your hands again, this time from the wrist towards the fingers. A strict Jew would do this before the meal, as well as between each course. The rabbis were deadly serious about this. This was an important ritual. They said that bread eaten with dirty hands was no better than excrement. One commentator said, "One rabbi who once failed to perform this ritual was excommunicated. Another rabbi was imprisoned by the Romans. He used his ration of water for ceremonial cleansing instead of drinking. And by doing this, he almost died of thirst, and he was regarded as a great hero for this sacrifice." So it wasn't enough just to clean your hands if they were very dirty. You would have to first wash your hands to make them clean, then perform the ritual to make them spiritually clean. Mark tells us that they had many other traditions as well. Wash cup, pitchers, and kettle too. And the reason for doing all this? Well, the answer, tradition. By doing these things, they were holding to the traditions of the elders. This tradition of the elders was a set of oral interpretations of the law, interpretations that had been passed from one generation to the next. It is important to understand that these traditions were not scriptural, but rather various applications of scripture as interpreted by the elders. If we look in the Bible at Exodus 30, verses 17 through to 21, and then Exodus 40, verse 12, in there, it was only the priests that were required to perform a ceremonial wash. Well, despite this, over time, the elders began to apply these rules differently, applying these rules to all the people, so it became common Jewish practice. The concept of evaluating Jesus' ministry was fine. These teachers of the law were keen to protect Israel, keen to protect Israel from a potential false prophet or Messiah. But the way they actually evaluated Jesus was all wrong. They evaluated him against the measure of their religious tradition, did not evaluate Jesus against the measure of God's word. And because of this, when the Pharisees and the teachers arrived, they saw Jesus' disciples eating with unwashed hands. Upon seeing this, they brought their complaint to Jesus. Look at verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? So here is the problem. Here is where their evaluation is wrong. The Pharisees and teachers were judging the disciples, according to tradition rather than scripture. Although there is nothing wrong with having certain traditions, you should not judge other people by your traditions. Every church and every family have and hold to some traditions, and we certainly have traditions here at Homegate Church. Let me give you some examples to illustrate. It's a tradition that twice a month we observe communion, the first Sunday in the morning and then the third Sunday in the evening. We open each of our services with a hymn to focus. We sing a mixture of old hymns and contemporary praise. We have a time of fellowship after the service with drinks. Bible study and home groups, as far as I'm aware, have always been on a Tuesday. There's nothing wrong with us doing any of these things, but it would be wrong to judge others if they did things differently. We shouldn't become offended by different practices. Phil is a shirt and tie man. You'll have noticed I am not. Some like only traditional hymns, others more contemporary songs. Some insist on finishing by 12, others aren't bothered. Some have embraced the use of Zoom, others not so much. It's important to recognise different styles and practices. We need to be careful how we approach both old and new ways. The younger generation need to respect some of the older traditions, and at the same time, the older ones need to open up to some new ways. Just because we did it one way in the past doesn't mean that's the best way to do it today. There are good reasons to adopt some new traditions. Likewise, and importantly, there are good reasons to hold on to some older traditions. One of the great things about the gospel is it's for all people. It's for all people in all cultures, in all countries, everywhere. When we give the gospel, it's the gospel they need to hear. They don't need to know all about our traditions as well. We don't need to teach them our songs and which ones we use. Rather, we should simply share the gospel as it was meant. We need to let the gospel penetrate their heart. We need to let the Holy Spirit shape them as an individual. That way they'll learn to praise God in their own way. They'll like their own songs and they'll adopt their own traditions. What we do at Homegate is just one way of many ways. So this Jewish practice of wanting to wash their hands wasn't wrong. It was just their way. There was nothing wrong with them doing this. It wasn't wrong for the Pharisees to want to wash their hands before food. There was nothing wrong with a ceremonial washing. What was wrong was the Pharisees judged the disciples. It was wrong of them to judge the disciples for not keeping this tradition. That's my first point this morning. Do not judge other people by your own traditions. The second thing we can learn this morning from our passage is we do not hold your traditions as sacred. Become more open-minded. In other words, not hold other people to your traditions. Instead, be open-minded to new ones. Hold your own loosely. Sometimes traditions outlive their usefulness. A past tradition may become a problem in the present. A ritual may no longer be appropriate. A practice in our church may not now be effective. So what are some of the dangers of holding traditions as sacrifice? I've got two things. Firstly, you're in danger of worshipping God in vain. Look at the response from Jesus in verses 6 and 7. It reads, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have to let go of the commands of God and are holding onto human traditions. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding onto human traditions. Jesus quoted from Isaiah 29 verse 13 here. He tells the Pharisees that, he tells the Pharisees that Isaiah was talking about them. Jesus used some strong words for the Pharisees here. What does he call them? He calls them hypocrites. The image they promote is more important to them. They were more concerned with trivial matters like hand washing. They were so busy observing all sorts of rituals and traditions, they forgot about God. They weren't right with God in their hearts. Jesus said, "These people honour me with their lips," meaning they say all the right things. They look good on the outside. Yet Jesus continues, "Their hearts are far from me." You can appear right with God when actually you are far from him. This was the case for the Pharisees and the teachers. When you hold your traditions as sacred, you are in danger of vain worship. You're in danger of becoming a hypocrite. You may honour God with your lips, but your heart is far from God. This is what Jesus, in effect, said to the Pharisees and teachers. Forgive me for asking, but would he say something similar to us? You attend church, but your heart is far from me. You read your Bible, but your heart is far from me. You pray eloquently, but your heart is far from me. You contribute money, but your heart is far from me. You do ministry, but your heart is far from me. You love to sing, but your heart is far from me. You talk to others about me, but your heart is far from me. Where is your heart in relation to God today? Are you guilty of honouring God with just your lips? Our traditions and practices of worship are only that. They are simply just traditions and practices, nothing more. When you neglect your heart relationship with God, you're in danger. When you rely on traditions and practices instead, you're in danger. You're in spiritual danger. God doesn't want us going through the motions. He wants our heartfelt worship, repentance, obedience, and prayer. God said through Isaiah, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus said, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." This leads us onto our second danger of holding traditions sacred. Secondly, you're in danger of putting your tradition above God's word. Look what Jesus says in Mark 7, in verses 9 through to 13. They read, and he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is coven, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." When you hold your traditions as sacred, you're in danger of putting your traditions above God's word. That's exactly what the Pharisees and teachers were doing. Jesus tells them they have a fine way of setting aside God's commands. They set them aside in order to observe their own traditions. Having recognised this, Jesus then gave them an example. Verse 10 outlines the example from the Old Testament, an example that clearly laid out the responsibility of children, a responsibility of children to honour their parents. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 20 verse 12, it reads, "Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And then again in Exodus 21 verse 17, we can also learn, "Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death." Don't know about you, but they are pretty clear commands. Clear commands from God's word, from his book of life. Our children at Homegate should know the first command here. The first command comes from the Ten Commandments. If any of you are listening, hopefully you'll identify it as number 5, the fifth of God's commandments. The command from Exodus 21:17 was one of the national laws, one of the national laws of Israel that demonstrated the seriousness of obeying the first law mentioned, honour your father and your mother. The Pharisees had a tradition or practice known as Korban, a tradition which Jesus refers to in verse 11. One commentator tells us a gift that was Korban was dedicated to God by an irrevocable vow. It was put under a ban so that it couldn't be used for any other purpose. The Pharisees were allowing people to put certain gifts under Korban. This was a way of shirking their responsibility to the parent. Here was an example where a tradition was in direct contradiction. Direct contradiction to the scriptures. But the Pharisees were going with the tradition rather than God's word. Traditions are fine, but we need to be careful with them. We should never elevate them to the same level as God's word. Also, our tradition should never take the place of God's commands. It's all too easy to take our rules, our rituals, our traditions, and put them in competition with what God tells us in his word. Tradition never comes before or above the commands of God. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we learn? What can we learn from Jesus' instructions about traditions? Firstly, we should not judge other people by our traditions. Traditions are not a bad thing and can be useful. Our own traditions are not the only traditions, and we should acknowledge different traditions. Secondly, we should not hold our traditions as sacred. We should not be hypocritical in our worship. Our worship should not be vain, but instead wholehearted. We should not put tradition above God's word. God commands always come before man-made rules and rituals. Don't be like a Pharisee. Don't be so wrapped up in your traditions that you miss out. Don't miss out on a heart relationship with God. Don't just go through the motions of being a Christian. Instead, give your heart to Jesus, not just once. Give it to him again and again every day. There is nothing in this world that compares with knowing God. Knowing God and knowing God's forgiveness in your life. Don't just be a follower of tradition, but instead, be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.